Back at it now with the conversation on a Wednesday. Good to have you here for the talk. Still coming this hour, Dr. John Lott will be here. Talking about Virginia's proposed red flag laws and Baker Act laws and so forth. I'll be talking to him about that in just a moment. But first, as we head towards the general election here in November of 2020, one of the big drives for the Democrats in the state, of course, is to take control of the state House and the state Senate. In order to do that, they need to not only hold the seats they have, but to pick up seats in both the Senate and the House. My next guest, Christine Barnes, is a candidate for the state representative position in the 71st District, a Republican, also an NRA instructor. Christine, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to come on the air this morning.
Good to have you here. All right, so for people listening statewide, where is the 71st? What are some of the towns in the 71st district?
The 71st is most of Eaton County. It excludes a little bit of Charlotte and Eaton Rapids. So you have Potterville and Diamonddale, Delta Township, Sunfield, Vermontville.
All right, so that part of the state, just outside of the state capital area.
Correct.
You've run for this position before. You came up, if my math is correct, 691 votes short. And Angela Whitwer, the Democrat, won here in 2018. But you ran a very competitive race, picked up 49.2% of the vote. What's going to put you over the top this time?
Well, I believe that I have incredible name recognition, and that's going to be very important in this race. As you alluded to, there are some seats that the Democrats are targeting. This is one of the seats that they want to defend. If I'm the candidate in August, then they will have to defend this seat with gusto, which will offer some protection, obviously, for spending in other districts. But I have continued to work within the district and for the last 2 years, and I believe I can swing those last 400 votes.
All right. So, take a swing of 400 votes from one to the other to put you in the lead there. As you look at some of the things going on in the state, it seems that the governor has, run on fix the damn roads. That has not seemed to have happened. And in fact, there hasn't been a lot of movement at all and things that seem to matter to people. Am I right or wrong about that?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. So, I believe the voters have buyer's remorse. The governor called for a 45-cent gas tax, as you mentioned. And when she didn't get her way, she cut veterans' mental health services, school funding, and police. So I believe that there is a great deal of buyer's remorse, and we will have a Republican stronghold.
Yeah, autism funding was also impacted. One of the things that I've read about here that people none too pleased about. But the governor does have time to give the Democrats' response to the State of the Union address next week.
I saw that.
What do you make of that?
I make that she should stay home and work in a bipartisan manner to get some substantive legislation passed here in Michigan, things that solve real problems or restrain, government overreach.
When you look at what's going on around the country, I'll use Virginia as an example as to what happens when the Democrats take over. Voting on the Equal Rights Amendment decades after the timeline passed, moving towards gun control measures that are opposed across the state by people on both sides of the aisle. The same thing could happen in Michigan. Don't kid yourself. If the Democrats were in charge, gun control measures similar to Virginia could come here. You're an NRA instructor. That's why I bring it up. What is your response? What are you hearing from people when it comes to gun control and the possible impact on Michigan?
Well, there's certainly some fear amongst firearm owners. There is no doubt Democrats are anti-Second Amendment. Even in our own county, I believe in public safety committee early next month, there is a group of activists putting forth a resolution that makes Eaton County a sanctuary city for Second Amendment. Nation or statewide, you have a movement in all 83 counties to move each of those counties to a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
How important is it to you to come through in this race? I mean, what are the important things to you that you think mirror what people in your district are thinking?
what are the important things? Well, jobs, 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 jobs. Obviously, we need a strong economic background. We need to encourage free enterprise, limited government. Strong national defense is important to Eaton County. So, you know, I'm committed to those principles.
So it's about jobs and it's about the economy. And if that's the case, and if there's big turnout this year, which I'm going to guess there is, and if Donald Trump was on the ballot, which I'm going to guess he will be, it could bode quite well for you, couldn't it?
Yeah, I believe that we will maintain at a state level our at least 58 of our seats. I'm hoping, obviously, that it's 59 at the state representative level. I hope I take the 71st back. I believe that we will maintain control in both the Senate. Or, well, we obviously will maintain control in the Senate, but we'll maintain control in the House and have a strong 2020 election from the top to the bottom.
All right. Christine Barnes, candidate for state rep in the 71st, NRA instructor as well on the campaign trail, out there shaking hands and kissing babies, as it were. Tell folks where they can learn more.
You can learn more by visiting my website, Barnes4, the number 4, staterep.com, or joining one of my 14,000 friends on Facebook.
There you go. Christine Barnes, well done. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great day.
One of the many races shaping up around the state that will determine who controls the state legislature come January 2021. Very important. Meanwhile, more claims emerging that Ilhan Omar married her brother, not coming from non-reputable sources, but coming out of reputable sources in Minnesota. Second report emerging over the weekend alleging that federal law enforcement officials are now reviewing allegations of criminal activity by Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota over claims that she married her brother. The story first reported by The Blaze, confirmed Sunday by the New York Post, which reported that investigators from the FBI were reviewing the claims against her. Two FBI agents held an hours-long meeting in Minnesota in mid-October with a concerned party who handed over a trove of documents regarding Omar's 2009 marriage to Ahmed Nur Syed Elmi, a source with knowledge of the events saying that. The Post reporting and adding the agents discussed concerns the Somali-born Democrat married Elmi, a British citizen believed to be her brother, so he could obtain a green card and study in America. Wasn't to get her here illegally, it was to get him here illegally. The two agents said they would share the information with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and the U.S. Department of Education, but did not commit to opening an investigation into the firebrand lawmaker. The New York Post adding, if Omar did marry her brother, she could be found guilty of committing marriage fraud, a felony, punishable with prison, up to 5 years, a fine of $250,000. The Blaze reporting that ICE's involvement in the investigation pertained to questions about Omar's marriage, which allegedly includes 8 instances of perjury, immigration fraud, marriage fraud, and up to 8 years of state and federal tax fraud, 2 years of federal student loan fraud, even if you stretch to bigamy. So a lot of things facing Ilhan Omar. Just the latest, keeping you up to date here. All right, so it'd be the last time I ask you today, but the Facebook page needs your help. The Steve Guru Show Facebook page, looking for you to join. We're looking for you to join the party at the Steve Guru Show Facebook page. Do it for me. We've got a goal in mind. We're trying to get there. We'll be right back.
Attention small business owners with 10 to 250 employees. Do you offer an effective 401k plan to your employees? Are you comfortable with all financial liability? The Michigan Chamber is offering its members the first statewide multiple employer 401k plan. Now, small businesses can offer their employees all the investment benefits a large company can at a competitive price. The program is powered by TriStar Trust Bank, a Michigan bank specializing in full-service wealth management. TriStar will work with your employees, understand their needs, and design an investment portfolio to achieve their goals. To learn more about the Michigan Chamber Multiple Employer 401k Retirement Plan, go to michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber Multiple Employer 401k Plan is available to Michigan Chamber members only. Become a member and receive $100 off by mentioning this ad.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
You know, people still walk up to me and say, man, have you lost weight? I'm Steve Gruber, and I did lose weight, a lot of it. I did it with My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost.
I'm still surprised because it's been almost 2 years since I made the decision to drop the pounds. And with My Pure Health Solutions, I did it with a custom plan built just for me. And I'm so happy I did. I feel better. People tell me I look better. I lost 40 pounds. I still feel great. Find out more at GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com. That's GruberHealth.com. Believe me, if I could do it, so can you.
You stay up to date with your health. So stay up to date with Healthy Michigan Plan changes too. Learn if these changes affect you so you don't lose your coverage. Although you may be excused now, you can find out more about the changes and what you can do to keep your plan at HealthyMichiganPlan.org. You can also call the Beneficiary Helpline with questions at 800-642-3195. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.